Welcome in. You are listening to the Blue Notes Podcast, a presentation of Indianapolis Colts stories and notes. I am your host, Benji Taylor. 2 years ago, the Colts traveled to Baltimore and played the Ravens on Monday Night Football. Carson Wentz played phenomenally well, throwing for over 400 yards with a near-perfect passer rating, and the Colts jumped out to an early lead thanks to an electrifying play in which Jonathan Taylor caught a short screen pass and ran 76 yards for the score. Lamar Jackson was well contained until early in the fourth quarter when the game suddenly shifted. The Colts' secondary entered the game battered and bruised, and at one point during the game played four backups, guys I didn't even know were on the roster. Not only that, kicker Hot Rod Blankenship was injured during the pregame. The injuries just proved to be too much for the Colts to overcome, and they crumbled in what Stephen Holder referred to as a calamity of casualties. My one request in last week's episode was that the Colts would go to Baltimore and get revenge from that salty loss 2 years ago. Well, the Colts did that, and I can't wait to talk about it. Stay with me, Colts fans. The Colts did, in fact, beat the 2-0 Ravens in Baltimore, and I have to say, it felt different. A year ago, almost to the day, this team was a complete mess, but Coach Reich and company put together an excellent plan, and the players executed it supremely to beat the eventual Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in Week 3. Sure, they had some luck go their way, but you know, you need that when you're overmatched. It was a nice win and really a coaching masterpiece, but I knew then that the Colts were playing over their heads. Go back and listen to that episode that followed the game. I didn't think for 1 second that the Colts were suddenly a playoff team. No, they were just an old dog who had a good day. A dirty mutt that happened upon a tasty bone. That was about it. But this win Sunday felt different. Again, I'm not yet shouting playoffs, even though I did joke about that last week. I'm not really going there, but this team has grit. They're better than I thought, and I wasn't really surprised about that win Sunday. Keep in mind, though, that the Colts with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback started 5-2 way back in 2019 before the wheels fell off. They only won two more games the rest of the way, so it's hard to really know how to feel right now. I think this team is better than that team, but it's hard to say. The good news is that we don't really need to worry about the playoffs right now, just one step at a time. And right now, I want to talk about that performance in Baltimore Sunday. I've divided the key players into three groups: the challengers, grinders, and heroes. Let's start with the challengers. Maybe this is a poor name choice. It's hard to think about this group and not picture the space shuttle populated with six astronauts and a school teacher launching into space only to explode into bits on national television. However unpleasant that is, maybe instead we should think about this group as strugglers. Well, they were challenged and they struggled. I'm talking about the offensive line depth. Actually, they were not amazing, I thought they held up okay. With Ryan Kelly in concussion protocol, Wesley French got the start at center. Then at some point, right guard Will Fries, hot off of his Hall of Fame performance a week ago, left the game with cramps, allowing Josh Sills to sub in. French was really active and vocal, calling out pressures. Josh Sills played 18 snaps in Fries' stead and wasn't a noticeable problem. The biggest problem was from the safety blitz from Kyle Hamilton, who pounded Minshew to the grass for three sacks. This really wasn't on the O-line, though, especially the interior guys such as Wesley French and Will Fries. Those blitzes should have been spotted pre-snap, and coaches could have made better adjustments. Hey, I'm not blaming French Fries for those sacks, no way. Speaking of the challenger, researchers believe that the biggest issue wasn't physical or mechanical. The problem was with communication. NASA spotted the problem with the faulty O-rings prior to launch, but the investigators failed to communicate the problem effectively. Conversely, our challenger, Sunday, communicated quite well, I thought. So much about spotting interior pressure weighs on the shoulders of the center. Wesley French was thrown into a pretty difficult role Sunday and handled it all pretty impressively. The O-line was challenged. They struggled more in the passing game, but opened up significant running lanes for Zach Moss, which led to a career day for the running back. And that leads me to the second group, the grinders. Well, I just mentioned one, and it's Zach Moss. Moss was traded here November 1st in exchange for Nyheim Hines. The trade at the time seems more like a favor to Hines and a blow to the career of Zach Moss. I thought Moss was an odd fit in this backfield, especially with Jonathan Taylor here, but he's been pretty good. Not great, not excellent, but good. Sunday was a career day for Moss. He carried the ball 30 times for 122 yards. 30 carries in today's NFL is just unprecedented for anyone not named Derrick Henry, so it was an impressive day for Moss. I don't want to get carried away. See what I did there? Carried away. I still think there's really no comparison between Moss and JT. For instance, the longest run of his career was a 43-yarder last year for Buffalo. His longest career reception is 24 yards. JT, by comparison, has had a 60-plus yard run in each of his three seasons played. His longest reception, as I mentioned earlier, was a 76-yard catch and run against the same Ravens defense 2 years ago. There's still no comparison, but Moss was good. He's a grinder. You know who else is a grinder? Gardner Minshew. Gardner is a grinder. Much like Moss, his game wasn't all that pretty. He was violently sacked 5 times. His entire passing game was shallow and quick. Nothing downfield aside from the one miraculous connection to MPJ. It was a pretty ugly performance, but there is something to be said for players in this league who can win ugly. Does your team have a guy who can step in for a starter and go on the road and help his team win against a favored opponent? In Gardner Minshew, we have that guy. Gardner threw for 227 yards, 1 touchdown, and he didn't turn the ball over. The throw and catch to MPJ was phenomenal. The pass came in overtime on a drive they didn't actually score on, but it was huge. Minshew trusted his best receiver against double coverage. MPJ jumped between two defenders. The guy in front got his hand up under the face mask, nudging it free. Then the guy behind finished the deal with a knock to the back of the hardware as MPJ's helmet first fell over his eyes, then rolled off his head entirely. Unfazed, Pitt consumed the football blindly and came down with the improbable catch even as all three bodies pounded against the grass. That may have been the game's most impressive play, but Gardner's best throw of the game came on a second quarter score to Zach Moss. It's what I like to call a wheel route jump pass. On 3rd and 3, Moss ran out to the right and down the sideline. As pressure closed in, Minshew leapt and threw the ball over the shoulder of Zach Moss, who secured the catch for the Colts' only touchdown of the game. The Colts assuredly lose that game if Gardner doesn't complete that gutsy throw. Gardner Minshew is a grinder. That brings us to the game's heroes, and I want to start with cornerback Juju Brents. Brents was drafted in the 2nd round back in April. He's been dealing with some injuries. He missed a ton of time in the offseason, so he had yet to see the field prior to week 3. Most fans were clamoring for Brents to get on the field, but I didn't think about it all that much. I just assumed he would be there when he was physically able and when the coaching staff thought he was deserving. What was the big deal, right? Well, we saw the big deal Sunday. Juju Brents was the big deal, and he was awesome. After Daryl Baker Jr. struggled mightily in the previous week, he was benched. Worse than that, he was a healthy scratch. That paved the way for Brents, and he delivered. The long and rangy cornerback got his first forced fumble and fumble recovery in his first ever pro game. Not only that, he often took on the game's toughest assignment, and that was to guard Mark Andrews, the star tight end for Baltimore. Andrews is one of the league's best tight ends, but he was held to 4 catches for 35 yards, basically unnoticeable. Those who were clamoring for Brents knew what they were clamoring for. Brents was great. Another hero was Michael Pittman Jr. His best catch, maybe of his career, was described earlier, and it doesn't get any better than that. Pitt was a favorite target of Minshew, which just makes good sense. When you're on the road against a better opponent, you find your best player and you put the ball in his hands. I think the Colts have gotten away from that simple idea too often in the past. In Baltimore, Minshew made the game simple. He targeted his best player, and MPJ delivered. He was targeted 11 times, and he turned those opportunities into 9 catches for 77 yards. In each of the 3 games played this season, MPJ has received double-digit targets. This is a pace he has never seen before in his career, but once again, it just makes good sense. MPJ could have easily fit into the grinder category because he's that kind of player. He's reliable and tough and probably not very fun to tackle, but that one catch was heroic. The obvious hero was kicker Matt Gay. He was heroic and historic. As Colts writer J.J. Stankovich reported, Matt Gay became the first kicker in NFL history to connect on 4 or more field goals from 50 or more yards in a single game. The distance of Gay's kicks was remarkable, but he was also 100%, which was crucial in a close game like that, which went deep into overtime. It wouldn't have mattered the distance or how many 50-yarders he made if he also missed some in between. Matt Gay, who I might affectionately start calling Matt Gamer, because he's a gamer, was interviewed post-game, of course, and his perspective was noteworthy. Gamer talked about going into blackout mode. Others might have described such a moment as flow, but that's when you get deep into a rhythm, and it's not like you just don't hear the distractions around. It's like they don't exist. Gamer was there in the very stadium where maybe the best kicker in the history of the game, Justin Tucker, has built his own fame. And there he stood on the other sideline. The underdog Colts battled to stay close throughout the matchup. The pressure couldn't have been more potent, but Matt Gay was unfazed, locked in, channeled to blackout mode. He was brilliant. Gay's final boot was a 53-yard walk-off for the Colts' win. A week ago, I asked for the Colts to get revenge on their 2021 loss to the Ravens in Baltimore. In that game, they had chances to close out the game, but couldn't rely on their injured kicker. Ironically, the Colts win this one with a record-breaking performance by new kicker Matt Gay. A couple things before we go. A few different outlets post snap counts, but I got these numbers from Colts Wire. Something to notice is the trend in tight end snaps. Kylan Granson led with 44, Drew Ogletree was next in line with 28, and Mo Alie-Cox had only 25 snaps. And remember, maybe the team's best tight end is Jelani Woods, who is still injured. When he comes back, where does that leave Mo? I didn't have him on my opening day roster, so is he just a placeholder until Jelani returns? Could this be the end of a very large and lumbering era for the Colts tight end? Another note to take with you, through 3 games, Will Fries at 65.5 has a higher PFF grade than Quentin Nelson at 60.4. This is not good. One guy, I wonder if he should be on any roster in the league sometimes. The other guy is playing on a massive contract. They should not be equal. Neither has allowed a sack, which is the good news, but the Quentin Nelson resurgence that I've been expecting and clamoring to see so far is on hold. This Sunday, the 2-1 conference leading Colts play the Rams at home in a very winnable matchup. I do expect and hope that Ryan Kelly and Anthony Richardson will be back. I also hope that this is the last Colts game without Jonathan Taylor. We shall see. Come back next week and we'll talk about it Take care and go Colts. This was a presentation of the Blue Notes Podcast. I'm Benji Taylor. Thanks for listening.